Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Crumry. Thank you for tuning in this Friday afternoon. After a delay caused by the federal government shutdown, some Alaskans enrolled in the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, also called SNAP or food stamps, have begun to receive half of their monthly benefits this week. Despite that, the delay has driven Juneau residents to worry that their next meal isn't guaranteed, and local organizations are stepping up their efforts to fill the gaps.
How many adults?
3 adults.
Any children?
1.
Outside the Southeast Alaska Food Bank on Thursday afternoon, people line up to receive food. Inside, volunteers take slips of paper that say how many adults, kids, and pets are associated with each person. They fill bags with yogurt, bread, and asparagus, and send them down to the other end of the food bank, where people are waiting to pick food up. Shannon James is here to get food for her family.
I stress a lot about my grandkids. I'm not so worried about myself. I can eat top ramen, but the kids need nutrients and vitamins.
She got half of her SNAP benefits today, but it's been a stressful week for her family until now, and she says she's not sure when the rest will come.
The stuff I get from SNAP, then I go to the store and get what I didn't get from the food bank, because the food bank, you kind of get the regular things and not necessarily the basics like milk and eggs and stuff.
But this week, those basic groceries have been harder to get without food stamps. In an email, the Alaska Department of Health's Shirley Sakai said she expects the rest of the payments to go out in the coming days. But she says the state hasn't received guidance from the federal government for December if the shutdown continues. In the meantime, the food bank is prepared for more need. Dan Parks is its executive director.
Demand is up. We've been busy. This is maybe the busiest week I've had since I've been here.
He says double the usual number of volunteers are here for today's distribution, and people are finding other ways to help.
The thing that we have seen increase the most in the last week is donations, which is amazing. And that's really heartening to see such a huge outpouring of support.
It's needed. Organizers say the food pantry at Resurrection Lutheran Church downtown ran out of food a few hours into opening on Tuesday. And on KTOO's Juneau Afternoon this week, Karen Laufer said the church is stepping up its weekly efforts by adding a second night to give out hot food to anyone who needs it.
If food insecurity is an issue, just come on in and meet your neighbors and meet the community.
There are food pantry hours throughout the week across Juneau. Dates, times, and locations can be found at sealaskafoodbank.org. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. Resurrection Lutheran Church is hosting a telethon to raise money for food security in Juneau Saturday from 6 to 10 p.m. And the University of Alaska Board of Regents approved increasing tuition across the board by 4% next year today, despite an initial proposal of only 3%. KTOO's Jamie Deep has more.
The university will increase tuition for the entire system for a second year in a row, and it's higher than what its administrators recommended. They recommended a 3% increase, but student regent Fernando Escobar proposed the additional increase to fund mental health initiatives. He says mental health services have not been funded for 5 years and suggested the increase as another way for the university to meet the need.
I'm optimistic this legislative session, but I have to be realistic, and I think this may be our best approach for right now in order to support student needs in the system.
The board is requesting $965,000 in mental health services across the three campuses for the next fiscal year. State funding for the university goes through the Alaska legislature for approval. UA President Pat Pitney says the 4% increase is beyond what she considers to be a modest increase. She says they recommended the 3% increase as a way to avoid a large increase while factoring in rising costs.
It also balances that there are anticipated fee increases in housing and dining services as we're working on our auxiliary enterprises.
Regent Karen Perdue says she wants to see a way for progress to be made on providing mental health support to students.
One way to think about this is it could be the student's skin in the game to go ahead and continue to advocate at the legislature for some portion of the mental health there would be progress made. Finally, on this issue,
Peyton Callahan is the chair of the Coalition of Student Leaders, a group that represents students across the university system. She testified that many students already oppose any increase and that the 4% figure might blindside students.
I don't know that aligns with
trying to keep retention, because I don't know that students, frankly, can afford that increase, considering the current economic state.
Union of Students, University of Alaska Anchorage, the student government for the Anchorage campus, passed a resolution last month requesting the board increase the tuition by just 2% instead. But not every incoming student will see higher tuition next year. Out-of-state undergraduate students at the University of Alaska Southeast will pay in-state tuition for the first time. That's still a lower rate than what they currently pay. But UAS Chancellor Aparna Palmer says the additional increase might affect the campus's ability to recruit Alaskans.
My sense is that we would still be a great deal in terms of out-of-state students. But in terms of in-state students, we may not get that buy-in if we go to 4%.
Regents approved the increase unanimously with one member absent. The new tuition rates will go into effect next fall. In Juneau, I'm Jamie Deep.
Fishing jobs in Alaska are down for the fifth year in a row. That's according to new economic data from the State Department of Labor for the year 2024. Seafood harvesting jobs dropped about 7.5% last year, about the same as the year before. That brings the industry to its lowest job count since records began in 2001. The report's author, Josh Warren, says there are many reasons for the drop.
There's increased costs, competition in international markets, drop in prices. A lot of different things can cause someone to choose to fish or not to fish.
Warren says climate change is another major factor, bringing unpredictable runs and fishery closures for different species and regions of the state. The report doesn't reflect this year's tariffs, but notes the U.S. has been losing ground in global seafood markets for years. Warren says the number fit a decade-long trend. Seafood harvesting jobs have fallen by more than a third since 2014. The pandemic caused the biggest losses, but unlike most Alaska industries, the seafood sector hasn't bounced back. He says crab was the only bright spot that seems to have rebounded from recent closures, but that all other species are still seeing declines. And while he's not optimistic that jobs will rebound to previous levels, he says the industry is overall pretty stable.
I don't think I'm terribly worried there won't be fishing in the future. I think it's pretty resilient, and we're just seeing a lot of negative factors right at the moment.
The very end of the year did see modest job growth, but Warren says it's too soon to tell if that trend continued into the current year. And cruise ships are relatively new to Prince of Wales Island in southeast Alaska, and not all residents are happy to have them. Caribbean's Sydney Dauphiné just returned from a trip to the island and has more on a tourism meeting in Craig from Tuesday night.
About 20 community members spoke to City of Craig leaders at a town hall in the high school's auditorium, sharing concerns about the future of rising tourism on the island. The gathering was hosted by the city's new Tourism Advisory Committee, which was formed about 2 months ago. Mayor Casey Smith said it has been contentious at best. Five members of the board were appointed rather than elected, and two have since stepped down.
And there was a lot of opposition that we started the committee too early. We should have done something like this in the community outreach. Well, we don't have much time. We only got another 6 months.
Resident Andy Deering calls himself a tourism refugee. He and his wife have lived in Juneau, Sitka, and Ketchikan before they moved to Prince of Wales almost 20 years ago. He said they saw each town taken over by tourism. That's why they left. They don't want that to happen to Craig.
You know, and so we've been all over the world, and we've seen what happens when big, you know, industrial tourism comes to a place. It does take over. I mean, it really does. And we were doing everything we can to try to prevent it from happening in Craig.
Residents said the town's infrastructure is not built for thousands of people, which can show up on just one ship. Sidewalks are scarce, intersections are staggered, and there aren't any stoplights. And many people like it that way. They don't want to be inundated by money coming in from other communities or get pushed out by rising costs. Deering said even though there are economic benefits to tourism, that shouldn't be the most important factor in making decisions about it.
Because my quality of life is not for sale, and at any price, because I'm here because I love the quality of life here in Craig.
Other town hall attendees see cruise ship tourism as something to get ahead of and manage so it doesn't take over. Craig City Council member Chanel McKinley said they need to set rules in place for tourism now so the community isn't undermined by big businesses.
And for tourism, when it comes, because it will come, that we have a good stronghold in place to where we still feel like we have a stronghold in our community.
The cruise ships that have been harboring in Kluwak on the western side of the island, with tourists coming to Craig, have been relatively smaller ships, with capacities of around 1,000 people. Craig isn't a port town and doesn't have a headcount tax, like Ketchikan or Juneau. There aren't many storefronts or restaurants for tourists to spend their money, so the direct profit is limited. But the number of ships that are coming to Prince of Wales is rapidly increasing. There were 6 ships that docked at Port Kluwak in 2024, and this last summer, there were nearly 24 ships. Next year, they're expecting almost 60. Craig Mayor Casey Smith said that's why he felt they needed to start a committee and get ahead of things like charter fishermen coming in with tourists and competing with local commercial fishermen.
Those are things that are going to be looked at that are out of our control in Craig. I mean, basically, the only thing we can do is go back and respectfully ask the cruise ships, you know, this is what our community wants and this is what it wants to look like.
Smith said the city has been trying out an access permit program for tourists to use trails, and it also lets the city generate revenue to maintain them. And he wants to hear other input, too. The board and town hall attendees seem to agree that going forward, the most important thing is to get community input through a questionnaire mailed to all residents. With reporting in Craig, I'm Sydney Dauphiné.
And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's 43 degrees and raining at the Juneau International Airport. We're expecting some more rain overnight, and then a 40% chance of rain and snow tomorrow and tomorrow night, with temperatures from the high 30s to the low 40s. The rest of this week looks rainy as well. You're listening to KTOO.